Think big. Think positive. Never show any sign of weakness. Always go for the throat. Buy low, sell high. Fear, that's the other guy's problem. Nothing you have ever experienced can prepare you for the unbridled carnage you're about to witness. Right. Super Bowl, a World Series, they don't know what pressure is. In this building, it's either kill or be killed. Right. You make no friends in the pits and you take no prisoners. No prisoners. 1 minute, you're up half a million in soybeans, and the next, boom, your kids don't go to college and they've repossessed your Bentley. Are you with me?
Hello and welcome to Turner's Take. I'm your host, Craig Turner, author of Turner's Take Newsletter. I'm also a broker and consultant here at Stone X. I focus in the grain and oil seed markets, but my team here, we also have experts in the energy markets, dairy, interest rates, currencies, plastics. If you have any questions for me or my team, you can call us at 312-706-7610. You can also email me directly at craig.turner@stonex.com. And if you're a client, you can always call my cell phone or text me. You should have the number. If not, let me know. If you like the podcast, please send it along. It's how people find us. You can also give us a positive review on iTunes. You can check out the show notes for information on my newsletter. And let's get into it. I'm thinking we're going to start off the macro markets. Then we're going to talk about a little bit of the energy, and then we'll wrap up here with this weather market going on in the grain and oil seeds. So, number one, macro news. Federal Reserve taught this week they did not raise interest rates. They took a pause. Now, some think that means the Fed is taking a pause because they're eventually going to want to cut when we have this recession coming. Some people think the Fed is taking a pause because they raised interest rates so fast, which they did. We went from 0 to 5 in 15 months, which is very, very fast. And if we remember back to historically for the Fed, and if we remember back to, 15 months ago or even 2 years ago, the Fed was saying, hey, we have to raise interest rates. I mean, they basically told everyone they're raising interest rates and then finally did it, but they did it so no one be caught off guard. So we had the big raise up for 15 months into about this 5%, 5.25% range. They're probably they're pausing now. Honestly, my personal opinion is they're pausing just to see what kind of effects this is going to have now, because they, and see, does it bring down inflation? How does it impact the economy? Are they causing a recession? There's a lot of things the Fed needs to take a look at right now, and having a pause is prudent. I think if they don't get the reduction in inflation that they're looking for, they're going to have to keep on increasing rates. Now, why did the Fed choose this exact point in time to stop raising interest rates and take a pause? I think there's a good reason for that. This is the first time in a long time we've actually had what's known as real positive interest rates, a positive real interest rate. And what is the real interest rate? What's the economist definition of a real interest rate? It is basically the Fed funds minus the rate of inflation. So if we use that core CPI as the real rate of inflation, which a lot of us do, it's like 4.9% right now. The Fed funds is now at 5.25. So for all this time, inflation was higher, Fed funds rate was lower. So the real rate, the real interest rate in the eyes of the Fed had been negative. So this is the first time. So they screamed rates higher so they can get positive real rates, then take a pause and see how things are going for a while, and then make a decision about when, does inflation come down? And if it doesn't, do we start going higher again? Really think that's what's going on. I know there's a lot of stories out there about the recession and the Fed's going to be forced to reduce rates and they went too fast. But I think for the beginning, this has all been about raising interest rates consistently until we got a positive real interest rate, and not to bore anyone with economist terms, but I think that's how this goes, and that's why you have the pause now. And if we're gonna keep an eye on that real interest rate, which is the Fed funds rate minus the core CPI, and if that starts to widen and get more positive, then the Fed won't have the pressure, as much pressure to keep on raising interest rates. But if it doesn't, they're going to need to get that higher. a lot of years, the Fed funds rate was 1 to 2% over the inflation. And if inflation comes back down to 2%, then the Fed can have the start reducing in interest rates from 5 to 4. But if we stay stubborn up here in the 4 and the 5s, Fed may have to creep up to 6. So we'll see. That's what's going on. That's what I think's going on. Right? I shouldn't. A ton of people all over the financial news channels can give you their own opinion on what's going on. But that's where I think we are right now. All right. Energy, real quick. It's Saudi Arabia and OPEC, are reducing supply, but we also see lower demand, and the economy is sluggish. Are we in a real recession, or is it just very low, sluggish growth? Kind of hard to tell right now. But regardless, there's not any excess energy demand, and this is summer driving season, where it's June 16th, and the energy markets haven't done anything. I personally thought we would have had a kicker here. When we were trading in the 70s in late winter and early spring, I thought we were good for a $10 pop in driving season and summer season. Modest, right? Did not happen. So back to the drawing board on that one. We haven't collapsed because the reason why we have this floor here is the United States does have to fill up the SPR. They want to start doing it after driving season. So that's going to add some support. Plus, OPEC is going to try to decrease production just to keep prices around 70 in the 60s because they really wanted it 80 and higher. So there is this very natural support for crude oil when you do dip into the 60s here, which may, for a trader, may be a buying opportunity, with the real risks of going into a hard recession. Then we could go into 60 and below into maybe even to the 50s. But, for those investors and the money flow and the funds out there and the traders, the way they probably see it is maybe it's worth the risk to, be getting long around, those mid 60s, thinking that eventually we will, eventually economies do recover. Eventually the United States is buying for the SPR. Eventually the Fed has to stop raising interest rates, right? And then what happens with energy? So I get the argument. I just think it's going to, and I'm actually on that kind of longer term bull camp, but it's just, you can't fight slow economic growth in the energy markets. Just can't do it. It's going to be choppy here. So that's what's going on in the energy markets. And then, we're going to finish this up with the weather market. So here's the deal. Grain, oil seeds, North America, even, so let's just call it Northern Hemisphere, grain and oil seed production for the spring and summer. We are in a full-blown weather market. So let's just kind of recap what's going on here. We've had a much drier April and May than normal. In some parts of the United States, it's almost the lowest rainfall we've seen in at least, in some of these areas in April and May on record. But it's dry throughout. We did not come into this year with very good subsoil moisture, and that hasn't helped out. We're actually, I think, drier coming into this year than we were in 2012 when we had the drought. Now, the weather patterns are a little different when you take a look at them, but the ones that matter right now, do have a lot of similarities to 2012, especially the switch from La Nina to El Nino and the PDO being strongly negative. There's some guys out there that make this argument about the upper air, cycles and, pushing the weather around, but that doesn't really seem to matter right now. So we are getting some rain for sure in the United States and in Canada. When you take a look at the prairies, Manitoba and Saskatchewan are sure in a lot better shape than a lot of parts of Alberta. In the United States, the Eastern Corn Belt had been doing very well compared to the Western Corn Belt. But even now, Illinois is getting drier. There has been a chart going around here on Twitter, percentage of Illinois in drought. And it was fine. We were under 10% Illinois in drought right up until mid-May. And then in mid-May until now we're mid-June in the past month, over half of Illinois is in drought. And that follows patterns from 2012, probably a couple other years where we've had, had issues. So we need to get rain soon. And if we don't get rain, we're going to be in trouble. Now, soybeans are rallying just along with corn. Let me talk about two things. One, soybeans can take the heat and the dryness longer than corn can, but soybeans are tighter on the balance sheets, right? So you have both these markets going up together. One, there's more room for error on corn. You could lose more corn production and still be okay compared to soybeans, but corn's much more sensitive to what's going on right now than soybeans are. So they're both going up together, both for a little bit of a different reason, but it all makes sense. This is a new crop problem. This is not an old crop problem. It's definitely not an old crop problem for corn. Corn seems to be well supplied, or at least adequately supplied. You can see the basis coming down in the corn market. We really don't have any export market demand in corn, and because of the lower animal number, especially on the cattle side, there is not as much feed demand as usual. One of the reasons why the funds have been getting short the grain markets here for the past couple of months, right up until this weather market developed, they saw the writing on the wall of demand that the USDA would have to keep on probably lowering demand in subsequent reports, and then that the balance sheets were probably understating the ending stocks or overstating the demand. And that's why we saw the funds pretty much go from long to short so fast. They saw that coming. But what they didn't see coming is this weather market. And there had been warning signs along the way. And there are warning signs for a potential drought a lot of years. But the difference between this year and a lot of other years is the rain just has not come. And right now, when you take a look at the forecast, they are still kind of dry. We are seeing some rain in the northern parts of Ohio. It looks like the plains are going to get some relief. We've seen western Iowa get some rain. We've seen Nebraska get some rain. But overall, there's still a lot of concerns, whether it be Illinois and eastern Iowa and other parts of the Missouri. There are rough spots in Missouri. So there are issues out there all over the place, and the market's building. Is certainly building weather premium. And I've got to ask myself, are the funds still short in a lot of these markets here? And I guess we'll find out. We'll find out when the commitment of traders comes out later today. So that is the story here on the grain markets. When I take a look, or what's going on right now, when I take a look at the balance sheets, let's say assume 92 million acres of corn, and we assume a 175 yield, that 55.6 billion for feed and residual, and we have 2.1 billion for exports, all of a sudden ending stocks are about like 1.7 or something like that. And if we had a 170 yield, I think stocks start to get to like 1.3 billion. But the thing is, I think we also have to take into account the demand side. I don't think feed and residuals will be 5.6 billion. Last year was 2.2 billion. The USDA was hoping for a recovery in feed usage, but we're going to have a lot of soft red winter wheat. I know the Kansas City wheat isn't going to be used for much feed because we're going to have lower supplies. We're going to have less animals too. So maybe 5.3 billion, just right around where we had it year over years. Appropriate. All the corn that's going to be in South America. Also, we're seeing lower demand from China. One thing we do not talk about at all is how the Chinese population is starting to decline. The one child policy that they had in the 70s and 80s and into the 90s, it's really coming home to roost now. As their population declines, which means, eventually they're just going to have, and also they're going to have more and more people that are, they're going to be dependent on, social services and not in the workforce. So I don't know. I'm not that bullish on demand between the demand change we're going to see coming out of China as population declines. And also we can start seeing, and also there's the recession we're having and their inflationary problems. So I would think exports for, United States are closer to 1.9 billion. I think that's what the funds think too. So at a 175 yield, and we just start adjusting down demand for feed and for exports, you can see how some analysts still think ending stocks are going to be 2 billion, even with the 175 yield. So that would be the bear argument. But right now, the market does not care about lower demand or changing demographics in China, or the huge or the very, very large crop in Brazil with prices a dollar under corn right now. What they care about is supply and supply risk. So it's going to be volatile when we start getting, when we get rain, you know, it could be pretty violent to the downside. But for right now, the longer the forecasts stay with, drier, and we do get some heat coming back into the forecast here for the last half of June, but it's not extreme heat. I mean, I know in Illinois, we've had some fairly cool temperatures here. And I think we've seen a lot of almost unseasonably low, cool temperatures, which has been good for the stress. But, we need rain in a big way. And if we don't get it, there are going to be some serious issues out there. So if I'm a farmer, I get buying. I can see in the short term buying, it's a little bit like musical chairs. Like once the music stops, they pull a chair. You don't want to be the one without a chair in this market. So I do like buying the short term puts. So for anyone who's been trying to get involved in this rally with the futures markets, you can use short dated puts instead of a stop. Even if they're expensive, you're risking 20 cents no matter what in the grain markets, no matter what you do these days. You might as well just find a short dated put for 20 cents and use that as your stop and let it go higher. If you're looking to, if you're looking to sell this market, we could be at $6 in D's corn. I wouldn't be surprised now if we tested that area, those 590s. And with November soybeans, we're now over $13. These were sale prices that make sense for a lot of guys that would have pulled the trigger. And anyone who needs to catch up on sales, I can certainly see that. I do like, if we're going to try to use a floor, for anyone who's interested in just trying to build some kind of floor until we know what the weather is. What the weather has turned out to be, or the longer term forecast can make a little bit more sense. The August short dated puts, which expire, let's say July 21st, it's 5 weeks. Basically, gives you 5 weeks of a weather market, and those strategies centered around those seem interesting because in my mind, in the next 5 weeks, we're going to have a very good idea if we're in drought or not and what the potential for yields are going to be or not. Usually even when we lose yield, market knows, except for maybe not beans, but definitely corn, market knows where we're likely going to be in or close to be, we're going to be in production, by then. So if you have any questions, you want to go over strategy, whether it be the long side or the short side, I understand some of you are probably maybe a little bit more sold that you want to be. And if that's true, maybe we can look at, re-ownership. If you guys are undersold and now this is the big chance to make some sales that you may have missed out on earlier in the year, there's definitely ways to set some floors here for the next 5 to 6 weeks, and which are, relatively, I think, affordable as a risk management strategy, and then just to see if the cash price goes higher, then you can decide if A, you're going to have the grain, and two, if you can pull the trigger over the next 5 to 6 weeks on it. I think that might be a good way to go about it. So, and then on the spec side, my newsletter, I have been talking about some grain spreads, spread on the market. If I'm specking in this market, I don't love always being long or short outright futures. I'm either going to be doing in the spread market, like old crop versus new crop, or D's 23 versus D's 24, something like that. Or if I am going to be buying futures outright, I usually have a short dated option associated with it, just so my face doesn't get ripped off if we have some huge change in the weather pattern. But But yeah, and I'm happy to go over it, anyone, and I'll put some of those more out in the newsletter. But anyone who has any questions, please reach out to me. So that is going to wrap it up for the podcast today. It has certainly been a busy week. Hope everyone is doing well out there. Please give me a call if you have any questions, and I'll talk to you later.
This material is conveyed as a solicitation for entering into a derivatives transaction. This material has been prepared by a Daniels trading broker who provides research market commentary and trade recommendations as part of his or her solicitation for accounts and solicitation for trades. Daniels Trading, its principals, brokers, and employees may trade in derivatives for their own accounts or for the accounts of others. Due to various factors such as risk tolerance, margin requirements, trading objectives, short-term versus long-term strategies, technical versus fundamental market analysis, and other factors, such trading may result in the initiation or liquidation of positions that are different from or contrary to the opinions and recommendations contained therein. Past performance is not necessarily indicative of future performance. The risk of loss in trading futures contracts or commodity options can be substantial, and therefore, investors should understand the risks involved in taking leveraged positions and must assume responsibility for the risks associated with such investments and for their results. You should carefully consider whether such trading is suitable for you in light of your circumstances and financial resources. You should read the risk disclosure accessed at www.danielstrading.com. Daniels Trading is not affiliated with, nor does it endorse any trading system, newsletter, or similar service. Daniels Trading does not guarantee or verify any performance claims made by such systems or services.